Begin Podfix Network transmission in 3, 2, 1.
Let's do this.
Welcome everyone to the Gravity Beard Podcast. We're actually not recording in Studio A today. We're on location in the home of my parents. Thank you as always to our listeners. We appreciate your continued support. Hey guys, thanks for coming back for part 3 of our time together.
I was looking forward to being here.
Glad we could come back.
Yeah, Mom, you ready to continue? Keep going?
Awesome experience. Thank you.
I think something important to point out here is that growing up, you didn't get to stray too far away from home.
No.
Not even in college.
No.
So college is, did you meet Dad in college or after college?
In college.
In college?
In college. Yeah, I was still going to school there. And Dad then took
you
a job.
You must have been near the end of it, though, because mm-hmm. you guys met and got married when you were 23. 23?
20. So your senior year.
So how did you meet Dad?
Well, hang on. We definitely are going to go there, but was there any other follow-up regarding what you're the point you were making?
No, I mean, I think the reason why I'm pointing out the fact that
thank you.
You didn't stray too far away leads into meeting Dad, because Dad was kind of from a completely different world that you came from, and he provided a sense of maybe adventure.
That's a good word. Which definitely leads into why you met Dad.
Yeah.
So how did you and Dad meet?
Okay. I worked in the store, and in this particular store, the manager had a son who was getting married. And this manager liked me, and she liked your dad. And so she thought it would be good if I went with your dad.
To the wedding,
to her son's wedding. So
it was supposed to be a setup.
Mm-hmm.
You were set up.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So she told him about me, and he called me, and then we set up a date. And but I took my girlfriend along because
you set up a date in advance of the wedding.
Yes.
So you're like, I'm not just going to go to this wedding with this guy.
Mm-hmm.
I need to meet him first.
Absolutely.
Was that his idea or your idea?
No, it was my idea, and take my friend along, my girlfriend, who lived down the street.
That was smart.
And
even for that time.
Mm-hmm.
And just for the listeners' benefit, I haven't produced this yet, but Dad told his own version of the story. So if you want to hear both sides of the story, then you can listen to both episodes. But this is where the two stories dovetail and cross each other, and now you can compare notes going from this point of this episode forward. You can now compare this to the previous corresponding part in
right.
conversation I have with Dad.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Continue.
And then my parents knew his dad because why? His dad worked with Brinks, and Brinks is a company that goes and collects money from
businesses.
So
which they still do today,
yes.
By the way.
Right. So your dad's dad came to my mom and dad's home to explain the Brinks system.
Of collecting the money from the business and
correct,
safely taking it.
Prior to that, my mom used to, my dad brought all the money home.
Right.
And my mom did, counted all the money.
Of course.
And made out all the slips for the banks.
That's incredible.
And my dad.
And printed the checks. I remember the machine with the arm that she
did all the payroll checks.
All by
payroll.
Hand.
Yes.
All by hand.
All
yeah.
I remember
checks.
That.
Absolutely. And
which she still did up until the time she was still doing checks that way.
Yes.
Yeah. Even after I would have been old enough to remember that. So she did that for a really long time.
I was old
time.
Enough to remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, our house got robbed. And I'll never forget that either. This is when I was in high school, and we had a term paper assignment, and at that time, when one was working on a term paper, you wrote your notes on little index cards, and then you organized them according to how you were going to type out the paper. And I had all this stuff done.
Yes, we did that too. No internet.
No, all done and all organized. And that nasty person who came to rob our house not only tore open all kinds of cupboards and whatever, whatever, but scrambled all my cards. Oh, I want a nasty person. And so anyway.
That was the main beef she had with the robber.
Yeah.
Burglarized their home.
Oh my God. Messed up her term paper.
Then another time, I went with my dad. This was, gosh, I don't know even how old I was. I used to also sometimes go with her, with him when he'd make what he called the rounds. He would go and check the building on 49th and North Avenue, all the offices, make sure everything was A-okay. Well, one time we went in there and somebody had broke into the bakery and busted the cash register and whatnot all. And then I was, oh my God, I was so afraid. I didn't know if that person was still in the building or what. And so then as part of the rounds, we had to go down in the basement to check stuff. And there, sure enough, that person had put in a, made a little fire of some sort to burn some things because we it was all little ashes and whatnot all. And I don't know why. And I thought, oh, my God, he was going to build burn this place down. But anyway, the person was gone, and they recovered from that. So
back to you requesting a date mm-hmm. with Dad before you mm-hmm. agreed to go to the wedding with him.
So, okay, we went on the date, and we went downtown to this really fun place that had dancing in a bar and all. And
what was
so
the name of your friend?
Sue.
And where did she sit in the car?
I think she sat in the middle. Or maybe next to me, I don't know, in the front seat. We were all in the front seat. And it was snowy. It was a real snowy night. Anyway, whatever. We had a good time.
And weren't you late for the date? Didn't Dad have to wait for you?
Oh, I don't remember that. I don't remember that.
I believe Dad covers that in his part.
Okay, I'm yeah. sure he does.
Yeah. So, okay.
It might be worth it for me to cut some parts out of that audio and put them into this audio. have a back and forth on this part of it.
That would be good.
So anyway, then...
So did you dance with Dad?
Mm-hmm. And then we really liked that place. So when we continued our dating, we oftentimes went to that place. It was probably run by the mafia. It was, I don't know. The house called the Holiday House. It was so fun. And,
there was a big mafia presence in Milwaukee at the time.
We thought it was fun. And so, I don't know, I guess we dated about a year, and then your dad asked me to marry him, and then a year later we got married. Or...
yada, yada, yada. And then we got married.
He was a good dancer.
He was a good dancer.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
and fun.
Was there anything else that was notable about your courtship period or the engagement or... anything like that?
Well, at the time, he was working at the bake shop. And when he was done driving the truck, he would come and pick me up, and we'd go to Mass together. That was one thing. And another thing we did, we would go to Mother Perpetual Help devotions. This was all suggested by him on one of our dates. And I thought that was amazing. I liked that very much. And so, I don't know, my parents became concerned about your dad because he, didn't have a formal education. And
neither did either one of your parents.
Do what?
Have a formal education.
Neither one.
Right.
So, yeah, right. So, anyway, I didn't think that was a problem. I liked his family. I liked his mom and dad, and I liked his brothers and sisters. They were Catholic. His mom kept a very neat, clean little house, and she would cook, and she was a good cook, and it just seemed like what's the problem? What's the problem? So I decided no matter what I was going to marry this man. I loved him. So. But anyway, there was a problem, but it got resolved. and
that's probably a matter of opinion.
To your parents' defense, you were their baby.
Correct.
You were the last of six, mm-hmm. and they had worked really hard for a lot of years, and they wanted the very best for you, and most likely anyone mm-hmm. who proposed to you mm-hmm. was not going to be mm-hmm. up to standard. Mm-hmm. I don't know if anyone could have ever met their standard, but mm-hmm. like you said, mm-hmm. you and Dad had fun together, and you went to Mass together, and he had a nice Catholic family, and so you had a lot to base your future on. Mm-hmm. So, and eventually your parents were okay.
Mm-hmm. They were okay.
Yes.
They were.
And do you remember how you got engaged?
Your dad simply asked me to marry him.
Where?
I know, but where and when and how? Do you remember the details?
Where and when and how? No.
Were you at a restaurant? Were you in the car?
Didn't he do it in the car?
Oh, yeah, in the car. In the car after one of our dates.
He had a lot of nice cars, though.
Yes, yes, love cars.
Like he was very proud of his vehicles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes. So to him, that was a very special place.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Good point. Good point. Good point.
What do you remember about the wedding itself?
What do I remember about the wedding? I know it was just really, really fun. And it was at the Holiday Inn on Wisconsin Avenue.
Because you got married.
Beautiful.
July 29th, yep. 1967.
Correct.
Okay.
It turned out to be a beautiful wedding. Got married at Christ King, and your dad's family came, and Grandma and Grandpa Early came from Chicago, and a lot of my relatives came, and business acquaintances from my parents, and It was a beautiful wedding.
Was it a big wedding? Sounds like it was well attended.
Yeah, it was. And it was at the Holiday Inn, on Wisconsin Avenue. And
well, the reception was.
Yes.
Yeah, the wedding was at the church.
Correct. And we rented the whole one floor. One part of the floor was dinner and a beautiful, beautiful wedding cake. As a matter of fact, when we're done here, I'll show you pictures.
Well, and yes, your family owns a bakery.
Yeah.
And the other, I would hope you would have a beautiful wedding cake.
And the other room was for like reception with hors d'oeuvres and drinks and so forth before dinner. And
there was dancing.
Reception line. Mm-hmm.
And who officiated over?
My senior uncle.
Senior Richard Schaefer.
Yeah.
And did he marry your parents?
He did.
And he had only been a priest for 6 months.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And did he baptize me?
Mm-hmm.
I remember him.
And
I loved him.
Yep. He was amazing. He was so sweet. He bought me my two-wheeler bike, which I treasured, and golf clubs. He loved to take me golfing. And so, otherwise, I never would have gotten to play golf. Never, 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 never. And he showed me how to swing the club. We'd only play 9 holes, but that was enough. That was enough. And I have such good memories of that. So, yeah.
Tell us about your first home after marriage.
Oh, well, first of all, back up. When we first got married, we rented an upper duplex, and we were there for 2.5 years until a strike came along and affected the W.A. Krieger printing company at which your dad worked. And, oh my gosh, we had to leave our home and go to Madison for the whole summer. And
why?
Because the strikers were very serious about their cause, and they called people that went against the strike scabs. So,
and Dad was a scab.
Dad was a scab.
He crossed the line. He crossed the picket line. He didn't strike. He went back to work.
They would chain your car. They would throw jars of paint through front windows of your home. I mean, just threatened me eventually I had to go back to teach in the fall, and threatened on the way that they were going to cause problems for me on the on the road and stuff. But anyway, so the strike came to an end, and things settled down, and my dad found a duplex, brand new duplex in Milwaukee on 92nd Street. And so...
That sounds familiar.
Yeah. So that's where we moved.
That's where you were born.
Oh, right. That's the reason.
And Cindy.
That's the reason. What was the address of the home on 92nd Street?
Oh, gosh. That's a good question.
I don't remember. It was just 92nd Street with the apple tree.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to give that address so that listeners could go on Google Maps and actually see the home that we're talking about.
Oh, I wish I... Oh, I feel bad about that. One block north of Burleigh.
Okay, so if you can find Burleigh and 92nd Street in Milwaukee.
15, yeah.
It was just a couple off the corner.
Mm-hmm. Third, I think. Third or fourth house off the corner.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Fourth, yeah. Anyway, 3254?
It may have been.
3254 North 92nd Street. 3254 North 92nd
That's
Street.
That's a good guess. All right. So if listeners feel adventurous, they can get on Google Maps and...
Yeah.
That home still stands today.
It does.
Well, I don't think the apple tree does, though.
Well, perhaps not. It looks awful. I took such good care of that place. Oh, my gosh. And beautiful. And you wouldn't like it right now.
So
it's,
you made...
It's sad. It's sad. It looks sad.
You made references to two dogs in your notes. You mentioned the strike, which obviously is a really significant experience, and then just below that, you made reference to two dogs. It said dog from high school and then dog on strike, and I don't know what those notes mean.
I can tell you one of those dogs was Coco.
Yeah, right.
That's probably dog from high school.
No. That's dog on strike.
Oh, Coco is dog on strike.
She did not like me.
That dog didn't like anybody.
She was the pre-children dog. Oh, no. She especially did not like me.
Did you want to make mention of dog from high school? Is that something that needs to be discussed?
I thought you had a cat that you rode around in the basket of your bike.
Oh, yeah.
That was before dog from high school.
That was when she was little and...
I got a cat from some relative's farm and brought it home.
Not at the same time as the mouse, because wouldn't have worked out.
No. And I love that cat. And, oh, my God, it was kind of wild, though, so my mama had to stay outside. But anyway, then one day it crawled up on my, underneath my dad's fender of his car.
Ooh.
And he did not know the cat was there. And he backed up, and the cat got a good wallop. And then
so to speak.
My dad then had to hit it over the head with something.
Oh, my.
Kill it.
I was very optimistic about where that story was going. It absolutely delivered. Thank you.
So what about the dog from high school?
The dog from high school.
I don't know if dog from high school is important, but...
Well, it was a boyfriend's dog that...
Oh, a boyfriend.
And now it suddenly has become important.
And I don't know why he had me take care of the dog, but...
Did it become your dog? Like, why did you make a note about dog from high school?
Oh, God, I don't know.
Okay, we'll just skip over that.
You just love animals.
Yeah.
So, 1969, you guys move into the home on North 92nd Street. 1971... I'm going to turn to my left.
Hello.
That's where my older sibling is born. What would you like to say about that?
Well,
first child, oldest child.
Yes, and you
has acted like it ever since.
Right, and like with a lot of things in this life, when there's a first, you don't know exactly what to expect, and so
of course not. So you brought her home and put her in a wash basket?
No. No.
So that's all you ever knew?
No. So I thought I was going into labor. And our dad took me to the hospital. It ended up being false labor. So then I knew that my brother Dick and his wife were having a really neat party at their house. So I says, well, on the way home, why don't we just stop in at the party? And
I'm going to interrupt for just 1 second.
Yeah.
One thing you should know, my parents had a lot of fun in their earlier years.
Yes, we did.
They liked to party.
Just elaborate on that briefly, since you made a point of saying that.
Well, but anyway, the doctor said, you'll be back tomorrow. You'll be before I left the house. You'll be back tomorrow. Oh, okay. Well, that's so anyway, we had a good time. And sure enough, the next morning, all things started up again. And and then headed to the hospital.
May the 31st.
Yes.
1971.
Correct.
Okay.
5-ish yeah. p.m.
Five yes. PM. And then our precious Cynthia was born. And, what a thrill. I mean, there was, in my mind, nothing more fantastic happened to me in my life than the birth of Cynthia.
Oh, well, thank you.
And your dad's father loved Cynthia. And as a matter of fact, I named her because of us. He suggested the name. And he could not wait to get up to the hospital.
He couldn't get there soon enough. He said, I am going to call her Cynthia. Uh-huh. So whatever you name her is just fine, but I want you to know that I am going to call her Cynthia.
See, that's why we're doing this, is these are all things that I've never heard before.
Yes.
Now, do you have any insight into where that name came from or why he liked it so much?
He never told me, but he told me multiple times that he named me and he went to the hospital and informed everyone that he was calling me Cynthia. So they could do whatever they wanted, but he was calling me Cynthia.
And all three of you, the ladies in our family all share the same middle name.
Yes.
Which is?
Marie,
that's right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, and I liked your grandpa very much, and so I says, if you want to name her Cynthia, that's going to be it. So, yeah.
So you went along with his wishes, and
I sure did.
And that's what we call her to this day.
Yep. Yep, yep, yep.
All of this part of the conversation is all regarding us, your children.
Mm-hmm.
1974, July the 1st.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I come into the picture.
Yes, my precious Christopher.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I guess I want to back up just slightly and just ask, did you guys have any conversation as a couple about how many children you were going to have, or what kind of family planning?
None whatsoever.
Just
not really.
And how did you decide 4 years into your marriage that it was time to have your first child?
Well, actually, I had a miscarriage first, and that was unfortunate, very sad for me. And then I became pregnant with Cynthia.
Mm-hmm.
And then your dad felt that a time space of like 3 years would be good. So that's when we decided to have another child.
And another question I wanted to ask you was, you were teaching. You had taught for 4 years. Uh-huh. You taught art.
Uh-huh.
Was there a specific conversation about, once we start having children, I'm going to stop working, or is that something you decided after?
That's a good question. I think it was just an automatic. In those days, women didn't work outside of the home very much.
No, that's true. And so it was more of a cultural thing, and you were fine with that, and you decided you were going to work for some period of time, and then you're going to start your family, and that's where you're going to shift your focus.
Correct. My mom, she has no way she could work outside of the home.
Well, she worked.
She was working. Yeah.
Yeah, but with the business, she sure did.
It was all hands on deck.
Yeah.
So she definitely worked.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so that was just your mindset. That was your philosophy. That's what you had planned to do, and that was...
Exactly.
Okay, so there wasn't a situation where you guys had a conversation where you really enjoyed teaching, you wanted to continue teaching, maybe we can make this thing work out.
Right.
You had just decided, I'm going to work until we have children, and then that's...
Perfectly happy with it. I loved... being a homemaker, and I love being a mom, and I didn't have any desire to go to work, because your dad made good money, and we got some generous monetary gifts from my mom and dad occasionally, and it was never brought up that I should go to work. Never.
So you just planned your budget?
Yep.
And you lived on, you chose to live on what dad made, and within those parameters.
Yep.
And you lived.
And I'm so glad I did.
Me too.
Did that. I'm
and,
so glad I did.
And so, that. So 3 years after Cindy was born, that's when I came along.
Mm-hmm. Right,
yes, yeah. Because I needed a brother.
Yes. And that's a conversation for a whole nother day. We have so many fun stories, and I mean that sincerely. Lots and lots of great memories.
We do.
One of those memories we're going to get to right now, actually, and that is in 1979, I think Dad, I'm just going to say it this way. Dad decided that we're going to pack up and make a pilgrimage to a completely different part of the country. So, okay, so Cindy was around 7 at the time and I was around 4. I think one thing that I want to know about this, and I'd love to hear your, I'm looking at the two of you, Cindy yes. and Anne, your questions, you didn't come along till later, so, but whatever. But
thanks.
We'll get to you. You'll have your time. But you might have similar questions, so I'm going to ask mine and then jump in where you like. But I think about that time, and I think about this move, and I think about your family and how close you were to your family, and that was a big deal to you. You'd been in, so from your perspective, at some point, Dad comes home, and I'm assuming, and proposes this idea. Just tell me about the conversations around this decision to move from Wisconsin to some other place.
Okay, well, some of it was, believe it or not, inspired by the fact that two gentlemen from the printing company had moved to Texas.
What I'm trying to stress going into this is, not your idea.
No, not really.
Okay. All right.
So the one gentleman moved to San Antonio and did printing for the army base down there and did, very successful. And then this other gentleman who was one of the executives at the W. Krieger, he got a good job with Motherwell Printing Company in
Fort Worth, Texas.
Yeah,
which is not far from where you guys currently live. It's right down the road, just a few minutes.
But around this time, Dad also had gone to when Cindy was a baby to New York for a little bit for work.
Right. Industry. One of the main reasons was industry in Milwaukee, and we're talking the printing, the breweries, the automobile, a lot of industry in Milwaukee, for whatever reason, was declining, and it was hard to get work.
Right.
And so Dad did not know, like, he didn't feel like he had a really good future there. You know, he was at a point in his life, an age, and a point in his career where if he was going to make a move, it had to be soon.
Yeah.
Because he, like, down the road, 10, 15, 20 years, he just wasn't sure that the opportunities were going to be there in Milwaukee.
Right.
Yeah. So this was 12 years into your marriage. Mm-hmm. You had had your second child, me, mm-hmm. just a few years, 5 years before. Mm-hmm. And both of you have the same birthday. You're the same age. You're born a week apart from mm-hmm. each other. So both of you are in your mid-30s. Mm-hmm. And then...
Well, believe it or not, that strike had a big, big impact. Because like I said, those two gentlemen left. They had to, because the things weren't the same after that strike. And your dad kept in contact with them. And so... anyway, one of the top guys at that... printing company started his own printing business, Quadraphics.
By the way, is still in business today.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so anyway, took his two sons who also worked at Krieger with him. So, and that became a very, very successful, and it's a successful business. And they wanted our dad to join them, and he didn't want to. So anyway, then your dad decided to branch off, and instead of working as a pressman at Krieger, he went to work for another printing company in Chicago, and they wanted him to transfer to New York. That's where that came in. And we went there and checked everything, you know, after your dad worked there for a while, and we decided, no, your dad then started his own business selling printing equipment, and then eventually it went into a Fat Boy business, but that's a whole other deal.
Well, but now he started in sales in mm-hmm. Milwaukee before we moved. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember doing Saturday morning outings with him, and mm-hmm. we would get donuts and Coke for breakfast, and
Breakfast of Champions.
Absolutely. And we would go to the office, and he would check on things, and then, you know, he had things he did, the hardware store and the mechanic, and, you know, he did this stuff, and so
and none of that has changed. Dad still has rounds.
Mm-hmm. It has not changed. So anyway, but he was in sales then. Mm-hmm. So when we moved to Texas, he came ahead for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
Who did he? Who was he going into sales with here?
I think it was Motherall.
Was it Motherall?
Motherall is the company that moved
us down here,
paid for the move, and all.
That's right.
That's what I thought.
Mm-hmm.
And then Robertson Porter.
Which the interesting thing about the Motherall company is Jim Motherall, who was actually a little bit younger than Dad, but the one that he went to work with, just recently retired from his own company and sold that company
last year. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then he did Robertson Porter, and then he went back to basically having his own business.
Mm-hmm.
He had a partner for a while, and then he opened up ATEX, and then he also opened.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I don't want to get too distracted because I do want to get as much insight from you as possible on this. Is that so? Dad decided that it was. I want to hear it. I don't want to put words in your mouth. I want to hear it in your words.
Mm-hmm.
Dad came to you and said,
"Yeah,
I think we got to move."
Well, I thought it was a great idea because remember I lived in Milwaukee all those years and didn't really expand much. And
which is what I was talking about earlier.
That's right.
I thought that was an adventure. I thought that's great.
So in spite of your very, very close family ties, mm-hmm. you were excited about the suggestion.
Mm-hmm. I felt that it would be a good idea. Yeah.
Okay. And you may have something to add to this. If not, that's okay. When I talked to Dad about this, he mentioned you guys explored a couple of different places. One was Southern California, mm-hmm. San Diego area.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember what he said, but
they
decided not to do that.
Right.
And then you considered San Antonio, Texas,
mm-hmm.
whatever reason you didn't decide to do that.
Right.
And when we ended up where we are now.
Yep. Exactly.
Okay.
Did he tell you why?
I think he did. I just don't remember.
They met someone on an airplane.
Yes, that's right. I do remember that. But
that's a little bit part of it. But I think an underlying attraction was this was the gateway to the Wild Wild West.
we're just a couple moments away from that. I'm glad you referenced that. We will get to that. Okay, so I just want to spend a minute or two also just talking about, because you made these are from your notes yourself.
Mm-hmm.
From your perspective, tell us the logistics and the circumstances under which we moved.
Okay, well, it was,
Because we arrived in Texas on February the 5th. You guys came in, Dad or you, both of you came and scouted homes in the fall
earlier.
Before that.
Correct.
In late 78.
Correct.
But the actual move was on the 5th of February.
Right. So your dad was already, working for Motherall. And so I was left in Milwaukee with the children and packing up and everything for this move, and it started to snow, and it snowed, and it snowed, and it snowed, and I thought, I don't know how we're going to do this. And we had a station wagon parked under this carport that we were going to,
which I believe Dad purchased that car
specifically for the move. And the weather is another reason why he chose Texas.
Yes.
That's
yes.
correct.
That's okay.
So anyway.
I also want to point out, just in context, this is right after the movie National Lampoon's Vacation came out. And everybody should know, if you don't know what I'm talking about, go look it up. But Dad references that, when he references that car that he specifically bought for the movie, he calls it the family truckster.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right. I'm sure he
so,
does.
Anyway.
I mean, I think he thinks he's Clark Griswold. But in any case, go ahead. Please continue to talk about the logistics of this move.
So the snow kept coming, and it kept getting higher and higher and higher on top of this carport. And I was so nervous. I thought, I can't get up there and shovel that off. What if that thing caves in on the car? So I got a neighbor, and a neighbor so kindly, and it was so cold. Got up on the garage and then got some of the snow off it from that perspective, and then on the other three sides and got most of that snow off, and oh God. And so anyway,
obviously Dad didn't make you drive down by yourself. He
right.
flew back and drove the car
down. Oh yeah.
In the car, including you and Dad mm-hmm. and Cindy and I,
mm-hmm.
one dog, one bird.
And the plants.
And a goldfish.
Yeah.
And you did not add a lot of house plants.
Correct.
So what I do remember the snow. I was only 4.5 years old, but I remember the snow. You were 7, so you might have a more vivid memory, but I remember the snow being over my head. So it was at least 3-4 feet.
Oh, yes.
And what was your memory of that, Cindy?
I distinctly remember the snow. Yes, yeah. It was definitely that tall.
Icy snow. As a matter of fact, they had trouble getting the truck started. The moving truck. We got our truck.
We had two problems with the truck. One was the weather, and one was Dad wanted to load the
75
Buick convertible.
The bright fire engine red with white top, white leather interior, 75 Buick LeSabre convertible.
Correct. And it slipped off the ramp.
That is correct. They were supposed to drive it up a ramp into the truck after the rest of our stuff was...
But they did get it in.
And I think we had to call a tow truck.
I'm quite certain.
And we left hours after we were supposed to. It was the middle of the night.
Yeah, it was late.
I mean, it was blizzard-type snow conditions.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Well, the city...
The city.
You said here 26 inches of snow. My memory was that it was more than that.
Well,
it accumulated higher than that. It was 10 degrees and 26 inches of snow.
Probably because they brought in the tow trucks and snow trucks,
and then they piled the snow up.
So it was above y'all's head because
they had to haul snow out of the city in dump trucks.
Correct.
In order to allow people to circulate around the city at the time.
That is correct.
Yeah.
And we probably should have just gone to a hotel and left in the morning, but dear Dad was so tired of that snow. We were leaving.
Well, he was Clark Griswold.
We were leaving.
He was going to get to Wally World if it killed him.
We were going to get as far south as he could stay awake and drive us.
That's correct.
And that's what we did.
Yes, we did.
And then offload the children and the pets and the plants. And then in the morning,
we got back in the car and
Mm-hmm. And when you say offload, that means when we stayed overnight, not at our destination, but
right. No.
You have to take all that stuff.
We drove all the living things. Yes.
All the living things.
Yes, that's correct.
And then we reloaded.
That's right.
But you know
back
what?
On the road.
When we got here, the sun was shining.
Yep.
February in Texas.
I distinctly remember.
And Dad probably just felt the sweet victory of that accomplishment.
Oh, my gosh. It was great.
Mom, are there any other details about the move itself that you wanted to mention?
The two movers, they really liked us.
Sandy and...
Alex?
Yeah.
Yes.
And they came back to visit us after...
Who stays in touch with their movers? We do. Our family does.
They stayed overnight, and when they had another move in Texas, they came to visit us.
Yeah, how about that? All right, that wraps up this part of the conversation. We've got one more part to it, and we'll see you on the next episode. Don't miss the show tomorrow. It's the conclusion of the series with my mom. We'll finally give my youngest sister her due and discuss how our family embraces every possible stereotype in the place we now call home. You've been listening to the Gravity Beard Podcast. It's what your ears will want to be listening to.
In the sunlight brings my train. So I'll say goodbye to New York. I'm an L.A. man again. One night stand in New York City. Lights are bright and the girls are pretty. Held her heart and I held her hand. Goodbye, lady. I'm a one-night stand.
You've been listening to a podcast of the Podfix Network. Discover more audible gems like this at podfixnetwork.com. Make sure to catch up-to-the-minute network shenanigans by following @Podfix on Twitter, @official_Podfix on Instagram, @Podfix Network on Facebook. And make sure to subscribe to Podfix Presents wherever you choose to find podcasts. The Podfix Network, artist owned and loved.